Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. Jeannie Colwin is a stress and TMS coach based in Los Angeles. She was a burnt out high school teacher who battled TMS symptoms for years before healing herself completely and leaving her dead end job. Simply put, she gets it, especially the frustration of doing all the right things, implementing the tools, and still not getting the results that you deserve. If this is you, I encourage you to book a free introductory call to learn about her tailored one-on-one coaching program. During this time, she will identify the specific barriers that are getting in the way of fully healing, unraveling blocks such as subconscious or negative beliefs, fearful thought patterns, or unfelt emotions is crucial for living a pain-free life again. Don't settle for partial healing. Bet on yourself again by going to jeanniecolwin.com, that's JeannieKulwin.com, to book your free call. Also, when you're there, check out her impressive testimonials page to see her clients' transformations firsthand. Welcome back to the show. As you listen to this, or actually, sorry, as I record this, it is March 29th. So am I back to the future? Because I'm recording this for the episode that is airing on April the 3rd. But as you're listening to this, I am knee deep in Disney World greatness out in Orlando with the family. So it's been a trip that we have been looking forward to for about 4 months. And hopefully I'm having a good time. when we went to Disney last time, Audrey was only 4 years old. Yeah, 4 years old. And she did a couple of the roller coasters and was just absolutely freaked out by the whole thing. She did a couple of them. She did Big Thunder Mountain. She did Cars. But she was like totally spooked. But, you know, the things that she likes now versus then and just kind of how daring she is in general is quite a bit different. Zoe loved all the roller coasters last time. Even did the Incredicoaster, which I would not do. And did Space Mountain a couple of times, which I did not want to do. But she really wants to do Tron. And yeah, so Zoe's down for a adventure with a lot of spinning and going very, very fast. And Audrey isn't usually, but when we go to the park and stuff, there's some of the spinny things that we have at the park, some of the merry-go-rounds and such. There's an infinite amount of fastness or speed that she wants on those. And so she is six now, and I think she's going to enjoy it quite a bit. So looking forward to that. Today's episode, so there was something that I came across. This is in, so if you don't know, I manage, along with my buddy Brad Gutting, we're admins for TMS hyphen the Mind Body Syndrome. There's about 4,500 members that are in this group, and it's evolved over the years, but at this point in time, it's really meant to kind of be an open forum. There's not a lot of moderation that goes into this. But really having people all over the world, regardless kind of where they are in their TMS period of time, will help them as much as we can. But it's kind of designed to be a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? Peer supported. That's the word I'm looking for. And this really interesting question came from someone yesterday where she said, how to address your emotions when you are not sure you've had any trauma. I've talked about this before, but I think one of the most important things to recognize about trauma is that trauma is very subjective. My experience is different than your experience. And the way that I interpret things is different than the way that you interpret things. Let me give you the most basic example that I can think of. PTSD. So 21 years ago, was it less than that? I don't know. It's all a haze. I was working at a grocery store, Albertsons at the time. And I was working in the front end as a cashier. The employee that was running self-checkout was he was in Operation Desert Storm from the early 90s, U.S.-Iraq war from the early 90s. And he had PTSD from that. So there were certain instances, certain situations, certain sounds, certain visuals that would set him off. So at the very, very back of the store, in the stock room, there was a pallet that fell from the top of the storage, basically. So probably a 20-foot fall. Very loud. Boom. So it caused pretty much everybody in the store to simply turn their heads or maybe, you know, jump for a second. But this guy hit the floor immediately, hit the ground immediately, as if we were being bombed. So we have the same experience, meaning we're going through the same thing at that point in time. And yet the way to which we interpret this and our emotional response couldn't have been more different. So I turn my head, he hits the deck. What is the reason for that? Why are our reactions so different? And it's because of those backgrounds. So it's because of the traumatic experiences that he has that are more closely tied to this thing or this sound or this instance. So that's sort of the best example that I can give. And as far as what you're talking about in terms of addressing your emotions, and this took me such a long time to understand and to figure out. So all that we're really talking about, this is stolen from Dr. Arlene Feinblatt, all we're really talking about are feelings. And when you really think about just the way that the word is structured, feelings, what are feelings? And for the majority of people, I'd be curious to, I should do this. I coach the girls' soccer team, as you know. These girls are all nine years old. A couple of them are going to be 10 here in the next few weeks. I should ask them, tell me what feelings are, and I'm curious what they would say. Because at its most basic, the root of feeling is feel. And when you come up and you say, my knee feels like it hurts, or my back feels like it hurts, or my stomach hurts, or whatever, we're talking about how something feels, but we're not talking about the emotional feeling, when really those are the same thing. So as an example, my heel has been killing me for the last week or couple of weeks. Look at this a couple of different ways. I know that, and Sarno talks about this in his books, I know that this exact spot is where oftentimes people that have foot pain, particularly in the heel, have a bone spur. And then I read something really interesting, and I need to go back and search for where I had read it. But did you know that lots of people have bone spurs on imaging, but only about 5% of those actually have pain? So what's the difference with those 5% of people that have pain? And I will tell you, my experience in working on this podcast and this project for so many years now, for 7 years, is that it is the experience of people emotionally and what's going on in their life at the time. So for me, this is the, God, I can't even fathom how many times I've talked about this. This is the end of the quarter and I am in sales. And this has been going on now for about 2 weeks, where my heel has just been in shambles. It's interesting because it only occurs at certain times. I could go and run a 10K right now and my heel is not going to hurt. However, working at my desk, doing next to nothing, typing, will cause my heel to hurt. So why is that? Because I've been 2 weeks away from the end of the quarter. The quarter ends on Sunday. I'm working on right now the largest contract, the biggest contract I've ever had in my entire career. And it's something where it's really come down to the wire. So what can happen? How can my body get my attention to shift my focus away from the experience that I'm having with this particular client and this particular project? Oh, nothing like a little physical pain to have you stop thinking about your emotional problems. And that's a quote that's lifted from somebody else too. So that's the best example that I have for that as far as I go. And I'm gonna dive a little bit more into this here in the next couple of minutes. But before I do, I want to tell you about the Pain-Free Comeback. The Pain-Free Comeback was created by certified chronic pain coaches Miriam Gauci-Bongiovanni, who's been on this show, and Alex Kasson, who's also been on this show multiple times. Miriam is a serious rock climber, and Alec is a former semi-pro cyclist whose former teammates include national champions and Olympians. Both face severe chronic pain, scary structural diagnosis, and know what it's like to have their favorite activities and athletic identities ripped away. They're both pain-free today, and with remarkable recovery stories have helped numerous athletes do the same. Now they're offering the first of its kind. Unlike anything I've come across, what makes Pain-Free Comeback unique is that it's built specifically for athletes and active people. Together, Miriam and Alec package their 20 years of experience learning about chronic pain and optimal athletic performance into a greatest hits collection of videos, audios, and exercises that have empowered numerous chronic pain sufferers to create remarkable breakthroughs. I checked this program out myself a couple of weeks ago. I recommend it. It's the type of offering that I wish that I would have created myself, but I'm glad that they did. Their signature Pain-Free Comeback program is on sale now, and it comes with a free 30-day money-back guarantee. Learn more at painfreecomeback.com, common spelling, but I'll do comeback just in case. comeback.com. Again, that's painfreecomeback.com. So, as I was saying, yes, the whole reason that not sure if when you're not sure if you've had any trauma. And again, the whole thing is just because our experiences are completely different. So a traumatic event to me may not have been a traumatic event to you. And a traumatic event to you, I may have said, why are you making a mountain out of a molehill? Which sounds very insensitive, and it is. But that's the truth, is that something that happened to you that seems completely terrible, like my daughter and I, Zoe and I, or Zoe and Audrey, or Zoe and any one of her friends. Zoe will tell me a lot of times about friends of hers or people that are in her circle that have had these horrific things that have happened to them. We're talking about parents with addiction, kids that haven't seen their parents in years because different issues have happened, just a lot of stuff. And the reaction those kids have and the appreciation for the things around them versus sometimes Zoe getting mad about the way that a cake that she made turned out and this being the absolute end of the world, right? The cake thing to one of her friends that's faced a lot of big T trauma in their lives, they're going to think that this girl is insane getting so upset about a cake. But this is just how Zoe interprets things. So we all have these very different experiences, and it's tough to have a one-to-one. You may also have a different response to maybe you know somebody with addiction in your life. And if you've dealt with that person for decades and decades, for instance, your response and the way that you think about things like addiction in the future is going to be highly tailored on how it was that you experienced it in the past. So I think that's the biggest thing, is to give yourself some grace, and addressing your emotions is really to just go into your body and feel. So you feel something in your leg, you feel something in your back, you feel something in your chest, or your sternum. Those are feelings. That's how you address your feelings. You just need to be able to sit there with them and know that you're okay and understand that these things are just passing like a river and that they will go away. And especially when you're not sure if you've had any trauma. You've had trauma because it's traumatic to you. It doesn't matter if it's traumatic to anybody else. And there is no definition that I could write that would say, here's what trauma is and here's what trauma is not, because our experiences just are quite different. I might just roll through here and see. Okay, somebody else. Are the TMS symptoms real? When I have symptoms flare up, like flu-like symptoms, people think I look really pale and are actually sick. So PPD, the psychophysiological disorder, which is, that's TMS. The website for the PPD Association goes into a lot of detail about how basically this TMS stuff can be pretty much anything. So the whole basis of it, as far as Dr. Sarno's concerned, and a lot of the work that he did, was around this disruption in the autonomic nervous system, which essentially regulates every part of your entire system, particularly the things that you have no control over. So we talk about you looking pale or looking actually, with quotes, sick. These are the kinds of things that can be disrupted. I mean, I could make myself feel sick on demand if I wanted to, but ultimately the autonomic nervous system is really going to be in charge when we're talking about things that I don't have the control over. So what I would say is that any sort of a symptom or a feeling that you have is this stuff. And even with things like illnesses or sicknesses or flu or whatever, we're talking about a down regulation in your system. And included in that is going to be your immune system. So catching illnesses easier, whether it's the flu or whatever, catching illnesses easier, not having the capacity to fight those things off, just being more susceptible to things or not getting over things quick enough, or your body not being as capable to fight infections. Like ultimately, dealing with your emotional world is the greatest way to be able to prep you for any sort of thing you may face, whether that be an acute injury and being able to help your body heal quicker, or if we're talking about an illness or sickness that you need to be able to prep your body for. Because this might cut deep for some people, but if we're talking about like when COVID was super hot a couple of years ago, I remember when I got COVID in 2022 and my symptoms were awful, but I knew, hey, after a few days, this is going to be over. So what's the difference between somebody that has something like that, like a response like that, versus somebody that maybe slips into a long COVID or a long bout of symptoms? It could be something as simple as, hey, this person is a catastrophizer in their life. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That's just the way that some people are wired. And I was a catastrophizer for a long time. And ultimately, the worst outcome was always the most likely outcome, the way that I thought about things. But once one large thing, and probably the best gift that this work has taught me personally is that the worst thing isn't likely going to be the thing that happens, just like with anything, whether it's an injury or whether it's an illness. So with COVID, for instance, as bad as it felt, particularly in like the first couple of days, I thought I had rhabdo. I was laughing about this last night. Google rhabdo if you've never heard of it. I thought I had rhabdo. I went to the urgent care. I got tested for that. I did not have it. And then eventually did test positive for COVID. And it was the worst headache I've ever had in my entire life. But I knew, hey, if I can just get through the storm, I'm going to be okay. And I rapidly got better over the next couple of days. So much so that the second time that I got COVID, it was the mildest cold I ever got because I had that confidence. And I also have the wherewithal to say, hey, even if it kills me, then it just is what it is. And I can't control that anyway. So that's sort of this riding the lightning of indifference and confidence that you need to be able to have in order to get over a lot of this stuff, whether it's an injury or an illness or whatever. Relatively short show for today, under 20 minutes. But I hope that you're all having a great week. It's spring break again. As you listen to this, I'm at Disney World and I'm having a blast with my babies, all three of them. So without further ado, thank you so much for being here. I hope you all have an awesome start to April and I will see you next week.